This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We love it here being sports guys with you.
Although it is very nice outside, so I hope everybody listening is enjoying that beautiful sun. It's like,
yeah,
it's spring.
Sun.
Early March spring day.
10 minutes of sunshine.
Yeah, and then rain.
Well, I'll tell you on In the News what's coming, but it's not sun. But when I said 10 minutes of sunshine, I meant, we've talked about this before, but... three things in life that if people knew that are free, that if people knew how much they helped your overall health, you would do every day. One is 10 minutes of sunshine. If you can get it.
Absolutely.
If you can get it. 10 minutes of sunshine. Cold plunge is one. And then I figured out what the third one was, because last time I was having a hard time figuring out, I had to go look it up.
Yeah.
But it's breathing exercises.
Oh, like kind of, I've heard like to help you fall asleep if you do like a heavy exhale, like almost kind of like not hyperventilating, but you're breathing really hard out, that makes you really sleepy.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but yeah, right there.
And yeah, that cold plunge, man, improves your circulation.
Yep, that's right.
Love it.
Get that sun, bro. Okay, well, one last bit here. We were talking about the Portland ballpark sitch. And the $800 million in bonds that they want, which is really nothing burger. It's just it's the $150 million from 2003 with inflation. Okay, that's pretty much what it is. So it's already passed. You won't have to pay a thing. It only comes if the stadium is built. You only get the revenue if the stadium is in use, and it will be paid by the players and the teams that use it. So that's it. No brainer. Now, as an aside to that, I did want to mention in this, because it's opening day week. Is that a thing? Opening day week?
I think so.
Opening day in a couple days. Two sleeps.
I've heard MLB call it opening week before. Do whatever the hell you want, bro.
You know what? I'm going to.
I love it.
It's opening day week.
Yes.
So we're thinking about Major League Baseball. At least I am, because I love baseball. And it is interesting to note, you may have forgotten, those of you that don't follow baseball all that closely, MLB will have two teams playing in minor league parks this year.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Very weird. It's, I mean, less than ideal for the league.
I don't think the second one is technically a minor league park, but it kind of is.
Well, look, the point is the A's and Rays situations are not settled. So the A's, they're probably going to Vegas. And I say probably. They're going to Vegas. They hope to break ground on a stadium there this summer. But they're going to be playing in a minor league ballpark in Sacramento. Apparently, they redid everything to make it bougier, not like seating or anything, but just the amenities for the players and the teams and stuff. And so it's ready to go, and the A's will play there until they get a stadium in Vegas. The real question about the A's is, what do we call them? Do we call them the Oakland A's? Do we call them the Sacramento A's? Do we call them the Vegas A's?
They don't want to be called anything.
What do you mean?
They literally don't want a city moniker. They want the Athletics. So like when the Mariners were playing them in spring training, it said SCA in the scoreboard bug, and then ATH for ATH, like Athletics. So they do not want to be called. Specifically, they say we are not the Sacramento Athletics, which is kind of a big middle finger to the city of Sacramento, in my opinion. But hey, they're playing there, right? And they'll inject some money into your economy, I guess. But they specifically want to be called just the Athletics.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, didn't we have that recently with the, it was the Washington Football Club.
That was stupid. One idea. Just call them the damn Seminoles, man. All right. The Replacements was an awesome movie. All right. Commanders is a dumb name.
The Commies.
Should have been the Seminoles.
Yeah. All right. So we'll
Sentinels,
call
them. Sentinels, excuse me. Screw, I totally butchered that. The
you
Sentinels.
Idiot.
Yeah, I did. I
we'll
am.
Call them the A. So they just want to be called the Athletics. That's it.
Yep.
Like
the A's.
City.
It makes no sense.
Huh. Okay.
Roll off the tongue very
whatever.
Well.
Whatever. It's up to them. In Tampa, it's very bleak. Now, you may have seen, and we didn't spend much time on this because of other things that have been going on around here over the last couple weeks, but you may have seen the headline that the Rays ballpark deal fell through. And it's weird because it said it fell through because the hurricane ravaged the Trump, which it did. And it's like, well, why does that affect a new ballpark deal? Well, the new stadium deal was in place, and the city and the owner in Tampa, or in St. Pete, actually, would split the cost of a new park, and they would drop it right on the side of where the Tropicana Field sits now. But after the hurricane hit the current stadium, the city vote to approve the funding for that deal got delayed. And the owner, Sternberg, backed out of the deal. He says, and I don't know if this is true, but he is saying that the delay on the vote pushed the opening date of the stadium back a year. So they had to push it back to 2029, and that created cost overruns and uncertainties in costs. And so he's like, screw it, it's a different deal now, I'm out. So in Tampa, and that's a big deal, they are back to square one. There is now pressure on the owner of the Rays to sell the team. And I think even, I want to say, I saw a thing that Rob Manfred said he wants the guy to sell the team.
Yeah, that's a disappointing outcome there. You're using essentially the ravaging of the stadium and the damage to it as an excuse to not build a new stadium, which at that point, I mean, and I think that essentially he's not spending much of his own money. The city and the league already put up a combination of the $60 million that it's going to take to fix Tropicana. And the owner's just like, you know what? I'll take the cheapest way out of this possible, and I'm washing my hands of the damn thing.
Well, but what's he going to do?
What do you sell the team? He's going to cash out.
You think he will sell it?
I mean, why not? What did he buy them for?
Well, he says, I don't know, but he says it's not for sale.
I know he says that, but that's probably going to drive up the price more. But you're talking about a guy who's notoriously cheap, and he probably bought this team for what? Under $200 million, maybe under $300 million. Now he's going to get to sell it for $2 billion.
Well, I know that sounds great to you, but a lot of guys don't want to sell their franchises. So I don't know what he's going to do. I guess the question as it pertains to Portland is, does that open the door for a Portland group to buy the Rays? Does that open, maybe more importantly, does that open a door for the Salt Lake group to buy the Rays and take the Rays there? Because if that happened, that'd be great.
It would.
Because that then means that both Salt Lake and Vegas, the two cities that that jumped you in the line to get a Major League Baseball team, would already have them.
Yeah.
And you're the last one sitting pretty on the West Coast when they expand.
Yeah, but then that would, I mean, you might have to redo some division and conference lines at that point. I do also think that Portland, even with this situation and the tumultuousness of the A's and the Rays, Rob Manfred, commissioner of MLB, has said by the time he retires, which I believe is like 28 or 29, I can't remember the exact year he said he's done, but he said very, very vehemently by that time he wants expansion to happen in MLB.
Yeah.
That tells me that Portland probably has a better chance at getting an expansion team than they do, like, the A's, for instance, even if it blew up in Sacramento. And I just don't think the Rays relocating to the West Coast is something legitimately being considered. I think they're looking more at, like, a Nashville type of spot.
Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal, the return to the Expos. And honestly, that would be freaking cool. As a lifelong classic baseball fan, I would love to see Canada get another team and Montreal, you know, get the Expos back. That would just be cool. But because of those plans that are being talked about and those possibilities on the East Coast, I think that takes the Rays out, which then earmarks Portland possibly for, or probably for, an expansion.
But you gotta beat Salt Lake for that. And that's not going to be easy.
No, but with this stadium, I mean, and with this location, and with the $800 million.
Well, you got to pass it first.
Schultzy,
you're getting ahead of yourself over here. Look at you.
I know Salt Lake City is definitely ahead of Portland in the...
Sounds like it.
Yeah, if you want to say in the running or in the race to, like, be ready for a team or whatever.
Well, so you got to make big swinges, man.
Well, and they did.
Well, I mean, if the Rays are for sale, I don't know what that means, but, I mean... Look, the whole point of this is that Rob Manfred said we want the A's and Rays situation settled before we expand.
Yeah.
Well, he's retiring, and he's like, we're going to expand before I retire. That's 2029. Okay. Well, all of a sudden, the A's and Rays situations are not settled. You thought they were. They are not. So now what? So I haven't had a chance to catch up with Barrett or Craig Cheek or any of those guys for a while. I hope to do so at some point here this summer, and... You know, who knows? Maybe there's some different ideas that we don't, that aren't even on our radar yet about this, because there is a lot in flux.
A lot of backdoor deals happening.
Well, yeah. And you got to have aggressive, you got to have money, and you got to be aggressive.
Yeah, I don't know
if Portland's poised to do that yet, but I know Salt Lake is. Nashville certainly is.
I don't know what it's going to take to put Portland over the top. They were essentially just the, you know, the city used to help Montreal move down, you know, to become the Washington Nationals. It was just like this, you know, redheaded stepchild option that was a negotiating tactic. That's all Portland was last time. And I don't know how they can take themselves over the top in that conversation, frankly.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be, I don't know. I wish I knew. They should put me in charge, man. But you got to be aggressive. And as Mike Barrett is always telling me, a lot of it is about timing. You know, it's like opportunities pop up and you have to be able to pounce on them, and all the stars have to be aligned. And so I would think that the biggest star to align next is getting this funding for a ballpark. The bonds passed. Get that passed. You got the site. You got a way to build it. You got money waiting in the wings. Go get a team. If that's a possibility, which I don't know what's going on with the Rays.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, it's not a minor league stadium, but it might as well be. It's George Steinbrenner Field down at the home of the New York Yankees spring training facility in Florida. So
that's probably nicer than the Sacramento Park, don't you think?
Oh, it is. It's kind of like I think it's like just a mini replica of Yankee Stadium down in Florida. But damn, that's going to feel really weird as a Tampa Bay Ray walking up and seeing a Yankees logo every damn day.
Yeah, that's true. 11,000. That it seats.
The Sacramento or the...
No, the...
Steinbrenner Field.
Tampa.
Yeah, it's...
You think they'll get a sellout this year?
Yeah. Just because...
I don't know that they will!
Tickets are going to be cheaper, probably. And if it's only an 11,000-seat stadium, those are the kind of games that I'd like to go to, because you get the more intimate atmosphere. You can hear, you know, what the managers are yelling and swearing at the umps for. So, I want to hear what's being said. I like those games.
Mm. All right. Let's get into some March Madness talk next on The Fan.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where were we?
You said March Madness, I believe.
I did?
Said we were going to talk some March Madness. We've been talking lots of baseball, probably because I'm here.
Baseball. Well, we should talk about the Cal Raleigh deal, shouldn't we? 6 years, $105 million to the big dumper?
And that is a very team-friendly deal.
Yeah,
buys out 3 years of free agency. He's only making $1 million in salary for 2025, plus a $10 million signing bonus. But it's smart because it keeps that off the salary cap for the cheap ass Seattle Mariners. And they, I think, frankly, got a very, very favorable deal with salary under what a top paid catcher would be, you know, come free agency in 3 years.
Okay.
Good deal, baby.
There is no salary cap in baseball. I just have to point that out.
But the, it's not about the salary cap in baseball that, that doesn't exist. It's about the Mariners not willing to spend cash. No, I'm aware. Yeah, you can spend as much money as you
want.
Okay,
well, you mentioned salary cap. I'm like,
Oh, my bad. I meant the salary. Sorry for saying the word cap. That was
is the matter with you today?
I don't know. Tired?
I'm just kidding, Schulte. We love you.
I appreciate you.
We love you, baby.
It's okay. We all screw up every once in a while, right?
Not me.
No,
never. Pretty much perfect.
Perfect, bitch.
So, no, yeah, I got a lot of March Madness stuff. As a matter of fact, at 5:15, we're going to get into, I'll tease ahead, I'll say that, you know, if you dislike the current state of NIL and college sports, there is a Sweet 16 team that you should be rooting for. You should be fully behind them.
Okay.
And I will tell you who that is and why at 5:15. Look at that. That's a radio tease, big professional radio tease.
That's huge.
One thing I can tell you is that, I don't know how you, did you fill out a bracket, you bracket guy?
I did. It's not doing very well. I entered a buddy's bracket contest, just 20 bucks, and not going so well. Although, all of my Final Four is still in it.
There you go, that's
so
the key.
I guess I could technically still make the money.
Who you got cutting down the nets, Schulte?
Auburn facing Duke in the final, and I picked Auburn to win. So I don't know if that's a smart decision or not.
Have you watched much of Auburn?
No, but you know, Pearl's been around for a long time, and at that point, when you go with the Blue Bloods, you kind of got to look at the coaches. And I would go in that situation with, at least if I'm picking Auburn v Duke, the more experienced guy over the successor to Mike Krzyzewski. So
okay,
I don't know, but they got Cooper Flagg, so who knows?
Yeah, they do have Cooper Flagg.
What about you? Brackets?
No bracket, bro.
No?
I haven't filled out a bracket for years.
You didn't even do the Alpha or Odyssey contest last year?
Odyssey, no.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
Yeah, Cooley designed, yeah, he designed it for the men's and women's, and we all got to enter like two different contests.
Yeah, no, Suke and I boycotted that because we didn't want to fill out a women's bracket. So, call us what you will.
You sexist pigs.
Yep, that's right. I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know anything about women's basketball.
I don't know much about men's basketball, frankly, if I'm being honest.
Well, let me tell you something about Auburn. They are really good, okay?
Yeah, they shoot the ball like on fire in NBA Jam.
They have a bunch of dudes that can just get their own buckets, right? Like that's a big thing in the college tournament because most teams don't have that. So if you do have that, like Duke, Auburn has like five guys that can do that, then you're just at such an advantage because if you run into a good defense, you still can, when all else fails, somebody can go one-on-one or break down a defense. And most national championship teams have that.
Yeah.
And Auburn fits that profile. But here's what I want to tell you. I want to warn you. As this thing keeps going and if Auburn keeps winning, you are going to absolutely pull your hair out watching Auburn because they...
I mean, I almost did in the first round. So.
Yeah. So they don't really run much of anything. They'll throw it into Broom, but
create space for yourself, bud.
Yeah, they just kind of play. And apparently, there's a bunch of locker room issues with them. It's like they're all pouty when they don't like. They all want to score 30, and that can't always happen. And they're all pouty when they don't. But they're so good that they just somebody takes over and they win. And so what you will notice when you start betting on Auburn, I know this because I bet on Auburn.
Okay.
And I watch Auburn. I bet on a lot of college basketball this year.
Yeah.
Way more than I used to. And I've just gotten back into it. And Auburn is fascinating because they should kick everyone's ass by 30 like Duke does, but they don't because of that. And they'll take these shots. You'll be sitting there watching them and you'll be going, oh my God, why are you shooting that? If you just realize who you are and play together, you will win this game by 40. And they end up winning by 12, you know.
Well,
whereas Duke wins by 40 because Duke is like the same every night. They play hard, they're a team. They're really, really tough to beat because of that. Auburn doesn't have that, but they have more talent. You know
what
I'm saying?
Good college basketball coaches are so valuable because they can get guys to, like, you know, put the team first, which that's almost non-existent now in college basketball. But
well, the Shire's done a great job about of that.
Yeah,
and Bruce Pearl. I mean, they're the number one. They're a number one seed. They're really good, but I'm telling you,
blowouts this season. I mean, it was. At times, it looked like it was easy for them,
yes.
but it was a struggle first couple down of rounds of the tournament.
And down the stretch, they struggled, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about Auburn right there. I don't know about Auburn.
I think they were, like, before Cooper Flagg was announced as coming back for the first round, I think Auburn was the betting favorite to win the title, so yeah. I just looked at
and
that.
And that's because they're really, really talented. And, you know, if they, you know, maybe now the bright lights of the tournament, they'll all come together and whip everybody's ass. I don't know. By the way, there is no perfect bracket. I wanted to report that.
Oh, the last one got busted? The
yes.
one out of, like,
there was
however
one.
Many?
Yeah. Yeah, there was one.
You lucky bastard.
Thank you.
No, I was talking to the one guy.
Well, it fell when Kentucky beat Illinois, so he didn't get that far. Although, I mean, that's really good, but it's not even close to, like...
Really? Yeah. And that's how he picked? Wow, okay.
Well, he picked Illinois.
Yeah, I know. He picked... dude, my grandpa went to the Fighting Illini school, but I still, like, didn't pick them
Look
to get the 16.
Look at you. The guy gets a perfect bracket all the way to that game, and you just... You think he's terrible because he picked the wrong one in
that
one game.
It was the opposite of what I went in that game. So, yeah, I'm gonna own
moron.
Him for that one pick.
Meanwhile, his bracket has only lost one game.
I had a perfect day one bracket a few years ago. Everybody stumbles into greatness. A broken clock
up.
Is right twice a day. Come on.
Warren Buffett finally paid out. I don't know if you saw that. You know, he does the Berkshire Hathaway thing.
The million dollar perfect bracket or whatever.
Yeah, he actually paid one of his employees $1 million after the guy's name is...
some rich guy's name?
Well, I don't know if he's rich, but he works for Berkshire Hathaway. He won $1 million. He correctly predicted... the winners for 31 out of 32 games in round one. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Warren, the old fella, loosened the... because he was getting a lot of crap for never paying that out.
Yes, so he loosened the restrictions.
He loosened the restrictions.
Okay.
He said you had to get 30, at least 30 of 32.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and this guy got 31, which, can you imagine? What a great year to do that.
I know.
If he did that last year, he doesn't get paid.
No.
And you miss it by one, you're like, damn it, I picked Illinois and not Kentucky, but you got everything else right, and you don't get $1 million. This year, you get 31 out of 32, and you do get the million because he changed the rules.
What were you just talking about with Mike Barrett from the Portland Diamond Project saying it's all about timing? It's not just Portland getting a baseball team, it's
timing.
Kind of everything in life, man. And this seems to be the perfect timing for this guy. That's crazy.
Actually...
I've gotten 30, but I feel like I've gotten like 28 or 29 before. Where's my 500 grand?
So this says that the guy he works for Flight Safety International, which is a subsidiary of Berkshire Hathaway. And he's one of 12 who correctly predicted 31 outcomes. 12. The others each get $100,000.
Wait, so was it like a drawing if they all got 31 out of 32, but only one of them gets a million?
Well, no, the guy who gets the million is the guy who did it last. Like his.
Oh, got the furthest.
He got the furthest.
I got you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
And then, so I don't know which game he missed, but the other people got 31, but theirs was in the first round or whatever.
Well, that makes sense.
So
okay.
They each get 100 G's from Dr. Buffett.
Better than a foot in the ass, right?
Probably, he probably still writes old checks out of his old leathery checkbook.
Oh,
you know
you
what I'm
imagine?
Saying?
You wonder if he rolls up to McDonald's to get his Egg McMuffin, because he is one lover of McDonald's. I'm pretty sure he says he eats there every day for breakfast and grabs his Egg McMuffin. Does he pull out the checkbook and pay with that still?
Warren Buffett.
Oh, man.
Yeah, how much cash does Warren Buffett carry on him, do you think?
Oh, I feel like I've seen this.
Somebody's probably asked him that.
Yeah, he says he carries like a few hundreds and then like a few ones because he always wants to have ones to tip.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He's try probably... fives, Warren. You're a billionaire.
I know, right? Like, dude,
maybe tens.
You have enough to give.
Maybe 20s.
The strip club has already gone up to $2 bills. Maybe
yeah.
You can too, Warren.
He wouldn't know that, though.
Not at all, right? I would know that, but yeah.
I wouldn't.
Well, I'm a degenerate, so.
You go to strip clubs?
It's been a while, but yes.
Yeah?
Love them.
I haven't been to a strip club for years.
I mean, they're fun when you...
Thank God.
When you're closer to the age of the strippers, they seem to want to have a bit more fun with you, so.
What?
It's a great time.
How old are you?
What?
I mean, I'm 36 now. I went when I was like 31, 32 last.
Oh, so you haven't been in years either.
Well, no, but that's because of the pandemic. We will go. My wife and I will go back. It's just, yeah.
You go with your wife, huh?
Maybe.
Kinky. I like it.
It's fun.
I got my wife in there one time.
She spin right around?
Well, she didn't know that in Oregon, they're fully, fully nude.
Yeah, you can take it all off in Oregon. That is a law here.
Yeah, and that is unusual. I don't know if you guys know that about Oregon. That's unusual. That does not normally, it's like just the uptops, you know?
Even in Nevada, you can't. When you go to Vegas, they can't do that.
And I think Nurse Nice got a little disgusted by that. She was like,
I understand.
I'm out.
It's kind of like Canada.
What do you mean?
Oh, very, very liberal stripper laws in Canada. Pretty sure it's like full touching allowed there. Like it's a time.
Why don't you go up there, Schultzy? You and the wifey.
Got a
little Canadian vacay.
Got to plan a trip. Head to Victoria, BC or something.
All right. Coming up next, it is time for In the News. Did we have record temperatures today? Next. Here's Schultz. We had Russell Wilson to the Giants. And now we have Stephon Diggs to the Patriots. 3 years.
Ooh.
$69 million.
Good one.
There you go. We can maybe talk about that later.
Schultz. I mean, Drake may need weapons.
Yeah. Well, they got one.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I guess. It is March 25, 2025. It is time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's nice to be with you. It is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is pecan day. Do you like the pecan, Schultzy? Big pecan guy?
No, not really. There? More of a walnut guy.
Yeah. I like the pecan, but...
You a pecan pie guy?
No. I'm not a pie guy at all.
And you say it pecan, because it's pecan or pecan, so...
Yeah, I say pecan, but...
Yeah, I think I say pecan,
I don't know
too.
Which is right.
I don't know either.
It's also Old New Year's Day today.
Oh, so this was our previous New Year?
Yeah, did you know this? I didn't know this until I saw this today. This is why I do this exercise. Maybe we learned something around here. March 25th used to be the New Year before they created the Gregorian calendar. In 1582. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. What would be the coolest New Year's Day if you could just change the calendar?
I'd probably put it in the summer sometime, just so like it's a lot more fun to go out instead of it being freezing cold, like we can all party in the sun. Kind of
maybe,
you know.
July 4th.
There you go.
Independence Day.
Why not? Just switch it. You know, like we got summer solstice and winter solstice, so it's right after... winter solstice now, just put it right after summer. So, like, yeah, July 1st, July 4th, why not?
All right. What about April 15th, tax day?
Like, if I could pick a day to move that to?
Well, that's our New Year. So then you do your tax. So you have your tax year, April 15th to April 15th, and then you start your taxes.
Well, then, so you probably got to move your tax year to September.
Why?
Because if you're doing the start of the year in July, I don't know.
No, we're doing the start of the year on April 15th.
Oh, you're saying to start it on...
Yes, the new New Year's Day is April 15th.
That's weird. I don't like that.
You know what? You're weird.
I am. Damn right. I own it.
What about opening day? Our new New Year's Day? No matter when opening day is, that's the new calendar year.
I kind of love that. Every single year to start the new year, you go to a baseball game.
Are you kidding me?
That's right. Did we have record temps today, Schultzy, you ask? Great question.
That is a good question. Well, it's sweating hot on the way in.
Yeah, I was sweating too. I was out putting today. I was like, take these jeans off.
Ah, see? So you did. You had to get the pants off and go to the shorts.
No, I have jeans on.
Okay.
I didn't take them off, but I thought about it. I'm kind of with Sook. You know, it's like you get to a certain age, you don't really wear shorts unless you're just lounging around the house or you're golfing.
Or
even then,
you're Jordan Schultz.
Or you're Jordan Schultz.
I will probably be 60 wearing shorts.
Shorts Schultzy.
My gross legs will be out for everybody to see. Just don't look down there, okay?
That's what she said. What was I telling you? Oh, the record was set back in 1966 for today, and it's 74 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the record. Now, if the high passes 80 degrees at PDX today, that will set a new record monthly high. because the last time Portland hit 80 in March was in 1947. So you asked, did we hit a record, the record being 74? The answer, Schultzy?
Tell me.
Today, the day of the new year, or the old New Year day, today, day, 76 degrees. That is a record. Wow.
Darn tootin'. Wow. Get outside and get some sun, man.
If
you gotta
you
go tan.
Yeah.
Get those UV rays.
However, here's the bad news. Beginning tomorrow, really starting during our show, strong thundies.
Oh, so we got like 78 degrees with thunder tomorrow?
No.
Ooh.
I don't think it's going to be that warm tomorrow.
I got my good old iPhone says 78 and 50% chance of thunderstorms.
Well, there's a cold air front coming in tomorrow night.
Okay.
And that will end our streak of nice weather at basically one day. But they said, you know, look, tomorrow night we could get tornadoes. They said that's not out of the question. This is a very volatile storm headed our way.
Those used to be so rare here, but since I've, like, worked in the media, we had one down in Almsville, we had one up north of Vancouver. They've been kind of just, they're not big ones, but the fact that we even have them, and I think we have to call them cyclones because it's just what we do up here in the Pacific Northwest, it's kind of crazy.
Yep, covered this. A cyclone, I thought, was over water. A tornado over water.
Okay, yeah, let's. I might have just thrown out some bad info.
You're
gonna educate the people.
Yeah.
I am on a roll.
They did say the powers that be, our gatekeepers, our overlords, said watch out for power outages tomorrow night. So be prepared for that.
In meteorology, a cyclone is a large air mass that rotates around a strong center of low atmospheric pressure counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere.
Okay.
So there you go. So
it's the same as a tornado?
No, you mean, I think other than like the way that it spins, probably? I have no idea.
Okay. So what, can you find out what the difference between a cyclone and a tornado
is?
That's
literally, I'm asking ChatGPT right now.
All right. Well,
a cyclone is a large low-pressure system that can form over water or land, while a tornado is a smaller, violently rotating column of air that forms from a thunderstorm and touches the ground. So I don't think cyclones touch the ground.
Okay.
And it sounds like the tornadoes do.
See? We're learning.
Trying.
Together.
Yes, sir.
Holding hands.
I need a beer now. That was a lot of work.
We have a new license plate for you in Oregon.
Ooh, I love these. I love when we get new plates.
We got a new one.
All right.
That's next on The Fan. Okay, so this is in the news, March 25, 2025. One more story for you here from your noted newsman. Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies.
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
Darn right.
Remember that?
I do.
Seth Everett.
Yeah, that, oh my God. Going back, man.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Probably the same thing as fake Bono.
Your show's better than this.
He's in real estate?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Well, Schultzy, you said you love license plates.
I do. Oregon's got quite the combination of license plates.
I think we do a good job with our license plates here.
I agree, and even the older ones, like I love the old Oregon Trail one. I wish they still handed that one out.
They touch on all the key things.
Yeah.
Now there is going to be a Beavers license plate for you Beaver Nation out there.
There wasn't?
That's what I said when I saw this. I'm like, wait, they didn't already have that?
They even had a Blazers one.
I thought they did have a Beaver one, but anyway, this one, starting April 7, the OSU Beaver license plates will be available to the public, and it will support the university in Corvallis. It's an additional $40. And with each renewal or replacement on top of regular registration renewal fees, the surcharge or a prepaid voucher is required for purchase. After covering administrative costs, the Oregon Department of Transportation will deposit the net proceeds from the surcharge into OSU's account, directly benefiting Oregon State Athletics.
Okay, so
look at you. They, supporting the Beavers.
I know, right? They have had a Beavers one before, but it was just the Oregon tree with the Beaver
with
logo
the Beaver
first.
Logo on.
Now the entire plate, like the Ducks, will be a Beavers plate.
Yes, and the background is just all black.
It's kind of cool. It looks awesome.
I can't really tell if there's a design. Oh, it's a wood. Yeah, it's like a piece of wood, but it's black. You can't really. And then the Oregon is in orange. Below the license plate number is it says the Beaver State, and then it's got the Beaver logo there on the left.
All right,
pretty cool.
I'll take it, baby. I mean, we should have had that years ago. I'm surprised.
Yeah,
but
no kidding.
I mean, they're I love Beaver fans, but they're just the second best school around here, unfortunately.
Oh, listen to you.
I'm not. Would the state of Oregon have taken so long to put the Beavers plate into circulation if that weren't the case?
Look, okay, it's implied, Schultz. Say it.
The truth hurts, all right? I'm not trying to ruin everyone's afternoons here. Sorry.
The Beaver plate joins the DMV's lineup of other specialty registration plates, including Crater Lake, which I think is a cool one, Cultural Trust, Gray Whale, Oregon Ducks, and, as I was told by a golfing buddy of mine, Junior Golf. Did you know that there's a Junior Golf license plate?
I did not. I know there's Smokey. There's a Pollinator one. There's a Salmon one still. I did not know that there was a Junior Golf one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's even a Watch for Wildlife. That's the one with the big buck on it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. Okay, so if you go to OGA.org, purchase today Golf Oregon license plate, and it just says, and it's got... it's got Golf Oregon under the license plate number, and then on the left, it's like a logo with a, you know,
that's
green
actually,
and a pin.
That's actually a pretty sick license plate. The background is a golf ball. That's cool.
$40, and you can buy it right there on the OGA.org website.
Yeah, but you can't get it on...
And you have to have a voucher, so...
Yeah, because the DMV does not list
it
on
don't.
There. No.
Well, you can only... They can only do so many of them, or sell so many of them, so you have to have the voucher, and the vouchers is a limited number. And this says there's like 350 left or something, but you can still buy one.
Look at our golf license plates acting like the Masters over here.
Isn't
selling
that cool?
Tickets and vouchers, my God.
Well, I mean, that's true of the Beaver plate, too. It's true of your duck plate, too, Schultzy.
You need a voucher for those?
You know, high and mighty. I just told you that's how they do these.
But I for the new ones, maybe. But, like, for a duck one, I can go on to DMV. That's why I'm confused. I know this is what you're telling me, but I can literally go to the DMV website, and I can get an Oregon one right now by paying $40 more and choosing that one.
Yes, but I think that takes a voucher off of the... I think it requires a voucher. Just
okay. I trust you. I'm just going off of what the damn DMV says.
All right. Never trust the DMV.
That's fair. That's a good point.
They don't know. In the news, you newsman, he knows. It's in the news, March 25, 2025.